Blog Talk Radio.
Football is my life.
And
it's something that I say proudly. But it's complicated.
You can't write the history of professional football without John Madden.
First thing that jumps out are the hands.
And yelling and screaming at guys.
What the hell are you trying to do?
He's a coaching genius. Downhill, full speed, boom.
Well, you can't win them all. And I said, why the hell can't you?
When you're the head coach, you live and die with that reply.
And you don't stay on top forever.
Madden's retirement signals the end of an era and perhaps the end of a dynasty.
We didn't know what he was going to do.
I wasn't a guy when I was coaching to say, I want to get out, I want to be a broadcaster.
Good morning, everyone. Dick Stockton with John Madden.
I'm Vin Scully along with John Madden.
But I knew after I did the first couple games that that's what I wanted to do. This is it. I embraced it.
John does a rehearsal game with another young, aspiring broadcaster by the name of Bob Costas.
How high is the shot?
And he looked like a 12-year-old kid. I don't know what's going on there.
Pull to the right.
Boom.
And boom.
Boom. Boom.
Boom.
Boom.
Right there in the alley. Boom.
John had this energy that came to life. CBS just saw something that they hadn't seen before.
John Madden made me a better player. I was pretty good. He just made me better. Simple as that.
I think the audience perceives what's genuine. That's who he is. The same guy who just happens to have extraordinary football knowledge.
He made everyone want to watch football.
If you just heard his voice in the distance.
Hi, I'm John Madden.
John Madden.
John Madden.
That was a TV you had to run to.
You know, he coached with a passion and love for the game. He went into broadcasting, changed the way football was broadcast, if not greater sports.
Some things that just go together.
He changed the way America celebrates Thanksgiving, for crying out loud.
Now this is what the game of football is all about.
Hey everybody, this is your girl Chinchilla Jonesia, aka Chinchilla J, and welcome to another segment of News Forum. Tonight is Sunday, January 9th, 2022. What are you going to do this new year? Tonight on News Forum, a very special story with a very special guest. My guest tonight was wrongfully incarcerated for 34 long years for a crime that he did not commit. My special guest tonight, none other than Mr. Curtis Crossland, who was convicted December 10, 1987, at the age of 27 for a murder that he did not commit. Mr. Crossland was exonerated June 24, 2021, at the age of 60. For over three decades, evidence to prove Mr. Crossland's innocence was already in police files and in the district attorney files. But, as in most wrongful conviction cases, there was foul play. They withheld exculpatory evidence, which could have resulted in a not guilty verdict for Mr. Crossland. You will hear Mr. Crossland tell his story tonight, right here on News Forum with your girl, Chinchilla J. So, keep it right there. Don't you dare go nowhere. News Forum with your girl, Chinchilla, will be right back after this. A special tribute to a very special icon, a legend, and a very remarkable man. None other than Mr. Sidney Poitier. Thursday, January 6, 2022 was a sad day in America and in the Bahamas. Sidney Poitier was the first black actor to receive an Academy Award for Best Actor. He received the Oscar in 1964 for Lilies of the Field. Sidney Poitier passed away on Thursday, January 6, 2022, at the age of 94, leaving behind his wife of 46 years and five daughters, three from his first marriage and two from the second. And most of all, he leaves behind an incredible legacy that will live forever.
Opportunity to work in films that transcended their time.
Mom, this is John.
It is my nature to make the kind of film that would make a comment.
I'm pleased to meet you.
Great.
There are great actors and there are important actors. Sidney Poitier was both.
How did I break through? I think I had great good luck on my side, and I also think I came along historically at the right time.
Sidney was raised in the Bahamas, where his father was a tomato farmer.
I left the Bahamas. I left the Caribbean. I went to New York at the age of 15. And I survived there with no friends, no money, no relations, no one.
Sidney acted in more than 40 films and inspired a generation, especially Oprah Winfrey.
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
Another one of Oprah's most memorable and favorite films starring Sidney Poitier was Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Let's find out why.
I love Guess Who's Coming to Dinner because the scene in Guess Who's Coming to Dinner where it says,
"Would you think of yourself as a colored man?"
And I think of myself as a man. That is who he is.
Listen to Oprah as she expresses her feelings towards Mr. Poitier.
There's no one on earth I love more. There's no one who I have greater respect or regard for.
Sidney Poitier was the first black to receive an Academy Award. And back in 1964, upon receiving the Oscar for Best Actor for Lilies of the Field, it had a great impact on 10-year-old Oprah Winfrey.
The winner is Sidney Poitier. I still see the image of him when Anne Bancroft hands him the Academy Award. And I was profoundly, when I tell you profoundly, I could start weeping right now. I was profoundly, deeply, sincerely moved by that moment because I had never seen, we were being called colored people at the time, I had never seen a colored man look like that. And I just thought, if he could do that, I wonder what I could do. And that was at 10 years old. And because he did that, I was able to do what I have been able to do in the world. And every single other black person followed. It only happened because he was able not just to do that, but to be that.
Mr. Poitier recalls how he felt when he received his Oscar.
It was extraordinary. It was remarkable. It was like, it was great. What can I tell you?
What can I give you in return?
To Stir With Love was a very notable movie where Mr. Poitier played a high school teacher in London. Also, in The Heat of the Night, where he played a detective in the Deep South, there are countless movies and plays that are very noteworthy. Simply because any movie or play that Sidney Poitier starred in was a great one, because his grace, his dignity, his poise in theater, on and off the screen, and in life was portrayed and exemplified through his characters. Mr. Poitier paved the way for blacks and how blacks were portrayed on the screen. During his career, He also won the Golden Globe Award, a Grammy, a Screen Actors Guild Award, the Kennedy Center Honor, and the Presidential Medal of Freedom. In 1972, Sidney Poitier starred in Buck and the Preacher, which marked his directorial debut, after which he went to direct 8 more movies. A Warm December, Uptown Saturday Night, Let's Do It Again, A Piece of the Action, Stir Crazy, Hanky Panky, Fast Forward, and Ghost Dad. All were added to his long list of accolades. Mr. Poitier was also a mentor to Denzel Washington. Denzel met his idol in a bookstore.
I took out my picture and resume.
Did you really?
Sure did. He was like, well, son, I don't think this is the appropriate place.
It's okay. I did it anyway.
This is what Mr. Poitier had to say about Denzel.
He was young. He was skinny. Denzel was. But there was the flavor of what was to come. I got to know him quite well. You know, this is one remarkable actor.
Sidney Poitier worked tirelessly fighting for human rights and equality for all. He even helped finance the civil rights movement. Mr. Poitier always strived to improve himself as well as the world around him. Mr. Poitier once said that he wants to be better the next day than he was the day before, and that's what he strived for.
There's always room for improvement. At my age, what am I going to do? Die? Certainly I will one day, but until that moment when I am no more, there is room for improvement.
Sidney Poitier will be greatly missed. Chinchilla Jonesia News Forum. This story of Curtis Crossland. Why does Curtis Crossland smile after being wrongfully imprisoned for 34 long years? Separated from his wife, his children, his family, his friends, his livelihood, his career, from society. At the time of his arrest, he was 27 years old, married, with 5 children, ranging in ages 2 to 6. They were stair steps, for heaven's sake. Upon his exoneration, his children were all grown and had children of their own, making him a grandfather of 32 grandchildren. Yes, you heard it right, 32 grandkids. Tonight on News Forum, you will hear what it was like being wrongfully convicted, wrongfully imprisoned for 34 years, having a family, and being helpless behind prison walls unjustly. Also joining me tonight on News Forum will be criminal defense and wrongful conviction attorney Caroline Turner, and Be a Voice Criminal Justice Reborn co-founder, Pennsylvania historical exoneree, Vincent Moto. News Forum is a syndicated radio program with over 12.5 million listeners worldwide. News Forum is brought to you by the ONE Network and Looking Glass Entertainment. Chinchilla Jonesia, a.k.a. Chinchilla J, is host, anchor, and investigative reporter. To reach Ms. Jonesia after the show, you may do so by dialing 844-642-8378, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. You may also contact her via email, chinchillajonesia@miketestentertainment.com. That's chinchillajonesia at miketestertainment.com. Follow Chinchilla on Facebook, Chinchilla Jonesia. Also follow her on Instagram at Princess Chinchilla. Like and follow Mike, M-I-C, Test, T-E-S-T, Entertainment TV Facebook page. You may also join Right the Wrong Coalition. The group can be found on Facebook. If you're listening tonight via the World Wide Web and would like to talk, comment, vent, or ask a question, you must dial 516-453-9133 and press 1. If you're already tuned in tonight via phone and would like to talk or comment or ask a question, just press 1 and you will be placed in the caller queue. So now, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show as we take you to the live scheduled broadcast of News Forum. And now here she is, host of News Forum, Chinchilla J. Hey, everybody. How are you this evening? This is your girl, Chinchilla Jonesia, and welcome to today's show. Well, tonight's show, should I say. And it is the second Sunday in the month of January in the year 2022. And so much is going on all over the place, from gun violence, gentrification, and of course, all of the grave injustices that this country we live in impose on us every day. It's such a sad situation. And tonight, as you heard, my special guest will be Curtis Crossland, who spent 34 years wrongfully behind bars for a murder that he did not commit. And I just want to say right now live and express my condolences to the family of Sidney Poitier. I used to love all his movies. And, you know, I looked at a lot of different stories about him, and it seemed like all of mainstream media, well, every piece of media that I read, that I saw, they all talked about the same movies, okay? And he had, you know, 40-plus movies that he starred in, and they did not mention any of the black movies. Now, I'm just saying this, and, you know, it's not meant to be racist, but I guess it is somewhat, because they didn't mention, like, the movies like Let's Do It Again, Uptown Saturday Night, A Piece of the Action. And, you know, those movies were movies that I saw when I was a teenager or whatever, and I enjoyed those movies. They were very funny. They were also clean movies because, you know, Sidney Poitier was a type of actor, you know, a very special kind of actor, and I have the utmost respect for him. But those movies were funny. And a lot of them, you know, he was in those movies with Bill Cosby and with Richard Pryor. Funny. If you have not seen Let's Do It Again, Uptown Saturday Night, and A Piece of the Action, guess what? You better go and Google those things and find out where you can see them, because they are funny. And I know a lot of you that did not grow up like in the 70s, if you were not a teenager in the 70s, whatever, you probably did not see those movies. So you definitely want to look at them. They're very funny, extremely hilarious. And all of his movies were good. And I just want to share this bit of information with you. For those of you that are familiar with the movie Porgy and Bess, well, Porgy and Bess was another movie that he starred in, and he did not even want to take that role because it compromised what he believed in. But he took that role
because he was offered another role. And in order to get that particular role in another movie, he had to do Porgy and Bess, or the director and writer and producer of Porgy and Bess. They were going to, like, blackball him, and he would not have been allowed to act anywhere. And back then, hey, they had the power to do that, to make sure that actors and actresses didn't work anyplace else. And so that's why he took the role of Porgy and Bess. And I'm glad he did, because had he not, we would not even know Sidney Poitier. And he was a beautiful human being. And the female version of Sidney Poitier, I always said, was Cicely Tyson. And she passed away last year. And another actress that did not compromise. She had values, morals, principles that she believed in, and she didn't play any roles that she had to appear to be, like, you know, slutty or anything like that, or taking off her clothes. She was a very proud woman, very respectful, respectable, and filled with poise and grace and dignity, just as Sidney Poitier. So, both of those two icons, they're legends, and their legends will definitely live on forever. And before I bring my guest on, I am going to quickly give you guys an update of the coronavirus. And, you know, that Omicron is like, wow, it is going crazy. So many people are infected. And in Philadelphia, you know, we still have like about 2,000 new cases a day. And it's just ridiculous. All over this country, hospitals are filled in the emergency rooms of people going in because they, you know, think they have the coronavirus. And people, if you think you have the coronavirus, hey, you probably do. But if you go into the emergency room, what are they going to really do for you? All you're doing is going in there and spreading your germs to everybody else that may be in there for other things. And if you don't have it and you go in thinking that you have it, then you're exposing yourself. So, you know, the best thing to do is stay home and ride it out and do what you need to do. You know, build up that immune system of yours. Wear a mask and stop being negligent, because this variant spreads much faster, and it is crazy right now, okay? Today is Sunday, and all countries don't even report on Sundays, but worldwide infections, 1,852,185 new infections today, yesterday. 2,246,419 new infections. This is crazy. Deaths yesterday, 5,230. Deaths today, 3,306. The United States of America, we are still the epicenter for this coronavirus pandemic with the most infections and the most deaths. New cases today here in the United States, 308,616. 308 deaths today. It's crazy. The total cases in the United States now, 61,263,030. Crazy stuff, people. This is absolutely ridiculous. And in the United States, everybody don't report. All the states do not report on the weekend. And just imagine if they all did report on the weekend, we would have way more new infections than that. The top 10 countries worldwide with the most infections out of 222 countries. United States is number one. India, number two. Brazil, number three. Fourth is the United Kingdom. France is number five. Then we have Russia, Turkey, Germany, Italy, and Spain. Make up your top 10 countries worldwide with the most coronavirus infections. So people, be smart, okay? Don't do foolish things like going into bars and clubs, because guess what? Bars and clubs, as I've always said, are coronavirus breeding grounds. So are restaurants okay? But yet people continue to dine in. And now you need a vaccine card to show proof of vaccination in order to sit down and eat and dine at a restaurant. Who would want to do that? I wouldn't. I don't even eat at restaurants anymore because of the coronavirus. I'm not exposing myself, and nor should you, because, hey, all you people that are vaccinated, guess what? You're still getting the virus. Some of you, well, they can't. I can't say some of you, but some people have died from the virus, because those that have died from the virus, I can't say some of you because they're already gone. But the virus is still infecting the vaccinated, and it's still killing them as well. So use your common sense, people. Stop letting them shoot you up like guinea pigs with these booster shots, okay? Y'all going to be walking around like zombies soon, but it's a shame. But anyway, that's my spill on the coronavirus. And every day, more and more celebrities are dying from the virus as well, and politicians. And it's affecting any and everybody. As I said from the beginning of this pandemic, it's not biased, okay? It is infecting and killing children, adults, old, young, white, black, whatever color, it doesn't matter. It's killing people. And the vaccine is not going to stop it. All right, everybody, that's my spill on Corona. All right, grab a Corona, the twisted lime, and I'll talk to you next time about the coronavirus. All right, but anyway, back to my guest tonight, Curtis Crossland. And as I said, he was wrongfully convicted for a murder that he did not commit. And the grave injustice that he had to experience is just so very sad, so very sad. But we're going to talk to Curtis, and we're going to find out what makes Curtis smile. And before I bring Curtis on, we are going to listen to a song that I feel is very fitting for Curtis because of what he went through and what he endured. And he is very special because so many endure what he went through. So, Curtis, this is for you by Marvin Sapp. Thank you for it all.
I thank you for my tears.
I thank you for the tears.
All right. That was Thank You For It All by Marvin Sapp. And Mr. Crossland, he is a spiritual man, and he definitely believes in God, and he's also a Sabbath keeper. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce everyone. And remember, those of you that are listening tonight via the World Wide Web, and you want to talk, comment, or vent, you have to call in at 516-453-9133 and press 1. If you're already listening tonight via your cell phone or landline, and you would like to talk or comment, or even vent, press 1. All right, we're going to introduce you now to Curtis Crossland. How are you tonight, Mr. Crossland?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I'm fine. All right. First of all, I want to take this time to thank you for
coming on to
myself.
That was a beautiful song. Can I just
say? Yes.
I love that song.
Yes.
I love that song.
Yes, yes, yes. That was a beautiful song by Marvin Sapp. And awesome song. I heard it. I'm like, oh, wow, this is beautiful. So I thought that would be fitting for you tonight. And I would like to thank you for being my special guest tonight to share your story. So before we even get into your case, Mr. Crossland, share with everyone how you were able to still smile after being wrongfully convicted of a murder that you did not commit, having 5 children who were stair-stepped at the time, ages 2 to 6, and a wife. How were you able to smile? How were you able to survive those decades in prison?
Well, you know, having God in your life before you face a tragedy like that gives you a foundational base that if you just continue to hold on, we never know what life's going to deal us. And me being the age of 27, I come from a good, strong base foundation. But it was the love of my family that followed me, that believed in me. And it was the many letters and the many visits that we know you didn't do it. We have faith. Keep your faith in God. Just hold on. God's going to work it out. And that's what I've done. I've held tight to the rope. And if the rope broke, I reached beyond the break, and I just said, God, I'm not going to let go of your unchanging hand. And God, after 34 years, you know, he delivered me. And what kept my smiles was just that my kids would believe in me. I always was dad. I always was a confidant to them. I always was a support. You know, when you're in a situation like that, I've been around a lot of men, you know, you seem to lose your family. Your kids don't know if you did, if you didn't do it. All they know is that dad didn't come home. And did he choose his friends that night, that day, that afternoon over them? But to have that love and consistency in my life, and again, you know, I'm a praying man. I believe in God. You know, I'm a Sabbath keeper. And it just was my strength. It was all I had. There comes a point sometimes when your back is flat and all you can do is look up and cry and call on the God that you say you believe in. And I found myself in that situation, Chinchilla, where all I had left was God to hold on to. Stripped of everything.
Yes.
Stripped of everything. And through the years, you know, it led to divorce and different other things. You lose everything sometimes. And it don't be because that you're not in love or your significant other fell out of love. It's just that it's just hard. It's a hard situation, and it's something hard to ask children, a wife, or your significant other to go through, especially for 34 years. You know, people want to live their life. They want to move on and go on. And even in that, you have to try to find the strength to say, well, I understand, when reality is, you really don't understand. You really don't want to let go. But you have to fight those tears, and you have to find a way to maintain and to go on. And, again, it'd be, God, where are you? Where are you now? Where is you, the God of the Bible? You know what I'm saying? Even if it's the God of the Quran, whatever your religion is, whatever your faith is, you find yourself asking, where are you? I need you. And that kept my smile.
Yes.
It kept my smile to know that if God had not done it, it was needful for me to believe that even if he don't, he can. That's faith. Faith is that God can do anything but fail. And if God chooses not to do it, don't mean that God can't do it. Why? Because he's sovereign. He can do what he wants.
Yes.
Whenever he wants, how he wants, when he wants. And for me, that had to be my mindset. That was all I had. I'd never been incarcerated before. I'd never been placed in a situation like that. My life was torn. I was torn. But I had to find some kind of strength to survive. I had five children that kept saying, Daddy, what are they saying? What the court saying? Only thing I could tell them is that I'm doing my best. Pray for me. And what that meant for me as a man was when I went in my cell, it was a choice over basketball, cards, running the yard, lifting weights all day. I had to go to the law library. Because when them babies came to see me and as they grew up, I didn't want to look at my kids and tell them a lie that I'm doing the best I can when I knew I wasn't doing nothing but playing games, sucking and jobbing. And I didn't want that to be the legacy. I did not want to look at them and lie. So I had to make myself go to a law library. That kept my smile. So know that I was fighting, even though I stayed in court for 34 straight years, even though I was denied over and over and over, it kept my smile to know that I was doing something, that I was fighting. I was thinking, if I'm going to die in here, I'm going to die on my feet fighting. But thank God, God delivered me. So that added to my smile. Another thing that adds to my smile today, and even Mr. Krabs asked, I've seen you smile. What adds to my smile today is that when I come home, I came home to a family that wanted me, whose arms was open, met me with smiles, met me with tears. My sister pinched my face and screamed and said, if I'm dreaming, is it real?
Wow.
I said, it's real. Don't push me like that no more. Your nails cut. I said, those nails cut my face. Shirley, don't do it no more. You know, even she's sitting here on the couch smiling right now. You know, she's here present. And that kept my smile.
Yes.
That's what keeps me. And I like to be a positive, thinking person. And I'm a happy-go-lucky person. You know what I'm saying? I'm a very upbeat person. I'm not one to be down and out. You know, I'd rather help pick you up. You know what I'm saying? And so now I can set my own personal things aside if it meant being in the word of encouragement to you. That, you know, that's just
yes. Wow. That's really awesome. That's really awesome, Curtis. Now, with your case, you were wrongfully arrested and convicted for murder. And, like, when the police came to your home, I think I understand that you, like, agreed to go with them to get things cleared up because you knew that you did not commit any crime. And you told your family you would be back. Your wife, you'd be back. But you never came back.
But I never came back.
Oh, you did go back? Oh, you did come back?
No, I never came back.
Okay.
You're very clear on that. I knew I hadn't done anything. And so when you get a knock on the door like that, and it's a bunch of strangers, and you wonder, well, what's going on? Actually, I thought maybe I might have hit something with my car that night. So I'm peeping and looking over everybody at my car. There's no damage. So I'm like, well, what's going on? So I told my wife to call my job. I said, and let my boss, his name was John Fiyaka Thompson, let John know that I'll be walking back from 8th and Race. I worked at 17th and Spruce, the medical tower building, as a therapist assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just got a phone call with an
officer
to go to college to be a therapist. And I thought I was coming back home. That was November the 3rd. That was December the 10th, 1987. But I never did. I never came back until the 24th, 2021, 6 months ago, after the 24th of last month. you know, and you get no explanations and no reasons. I just, when you indigent, when you're poor, when you don't have the education of law, the comprehension, understand, you don't know what's going on. You figure things is going to work themselves out, that somebody's going to figure that something went wrong some kind of way, and you're going to come out. And but unfortunately, in my situation, that didn't happen. And
wow.
So all I could do
that
was
is
do
so
the
ridiculous.
I could. Yes, so that's how that be, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not the first. I'm sure you know that. I've seen some of the program work that you have done, you know, and I'm sure I'm not the last. I believe I'm the 21st man
right.
to be exonerated, but I believe there's six or seven that has followed me since June. That's just been 6 months as the 21st
right.
of December.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It,
and
it,
I think, like,
happens,
as the record and as the records show, it shows that you're the 22nd person to be exonerated through the Conviction Integrity Unit.
Okay.
Yeah. And, yeah, which is awesome. Now, when the Conviction Integrity Unit agreed to review your case, now they looked at it and they saw a lot of red flags. And, you know, a situation is, like, especially here in Philadelphia, you know, like where the DAs, the prosecutors, the police department, how they don't turn over their files. And that's a sad thing because the files, if the DA requests files, then they need to produce those files right away, but they drag their feet. Sometimes they'll say, oh, files got lost or missing and all kinds of different situations. But thank God that your files were presented. And in those files, Patricia Cummings and her team, they saw where, like, a lot of different things were omitted, like witnesses, like people that said that you didn't do it and all kinds of things. And evidence was right there in the file for all of those years. And from day one, like while you were on trial, and that evidence was evidence that was withheld. So that was exculpatory evidence that could have proved that you did not commit the crime. And had the police department not been so corrupt and had the prosecutors not been so corrupt, they would have made sure to introduce all that stuff. And you would not have been found guilty at all. That would have had a totally different outcome in your case. And you know, it's a sad thing that you had to spend 34 years of your life behind bars for something that you did not do. But being a man of faith who believes in God, you, I'm sure, feels as though that was the destiny at that time that God had for you for a specific purpose. And I'm not sure if God has shown you what that purpose was yet, why he allowed that to take place in your life. But can you shed some light on that? What was your feeling towards that, like what I just said, Curtis?
Well, you know, I've wept with men as part of ministry. You know, I've counseled men. I've counseled men in marriage. You know, I've shamed. I preach. I teach. I've done, you know, all I thought was being called for me to do on the inside, not saying that was my destiny and what God had. But I was once told something by an old-timer when I got there, and he asked me, son, what kind of time are you doing? I said, life without the possibility of parole. And he looked at me. He said, you can't do that. There's no way in the world you can do that kind of time. He said, but you can let the time serve you. I said, just what does that mean? He said, well, if you're a Christian or Muslim or whatever your faith is, go to church, get into your God, find through one of these shops in here, a skilled job that's going to pay you something, you understand, to help you with your needs in here, and stay away from the in crowd and, you know, and find your way to make things work for you in here, to make your day and your time go by. And that was one of the most wisest pieces of information that I could have received, because it gave me a sight for structure. And
wow.
Yeah, it did. And I focused my attention on being better. I mean, when you're in the worstest place that you can ever be, you know what I'm saying, and you're in the worstest condition you can ever be. I did 34 years without one fist fight. I did 34 years without ever having been in the hole for using any narcotic drug, which is called a hot yarn. You understand? And I don't even know what the hole looked like through that time, because I took my time. And did whatever I felt that I was being led or called of God to do, and coming out, you know what I'm saying? It's still my same press. I haven't changed. Not one iota, you understand? And I continue to press forward. You know, I was 27 years old when I went in. I come out, I'm 60, and I have to ask myself, you know, I have to live my best life ever. You know, it's not just a second opportunity that God has given me. As you just said, it's a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
God does things for purpose, not you know, not by fault. You know what I'm saying? And I continue to seek that purpose, but I just believe that if you're good, you continue to do good, good things happen to you. And it doesn't mean because you go into a situation like that, that it has to tear you down mentally, psychologically, emotionally. I think Dr. King said it best when they was marching. I believe it was from Selma to Birmingham, or one of the other, if I'm wrong. Correct me. He said, if they throw you into prison and you go into that heap of shame, turn into a glorious haven. You understand? So I realized that everything doesn't have to take your songbird. Everything doesn't have to rob you of your joy, not when you know that it's designed to do it. It's just like taking a pack of cigarettes and you read, and the label says, the Surgeon General said, this may cause cancer. If you know that that is something that's going to kill you, or a drug that's going to kill you, or alcohol that's going to kill you, why pick up your own enemy and let it destroy you? So I'd rather have the mindset that if you're going to do me, I'd rather do you. So with that being said, if I know that prison is designed to tear me down, then I need to find joyous ways to try to make my life a little better. So I put myself into a CI shop. I made clothing. I made clothing for 34 years. Everything that you wear, I can make.
Oh.
That's what I did for 34 years. You know, I sang the word, I teach the word, I can preach the word, you know. That's just what I found myself to do. And coming out, I love people, you understand? So I see it needful to continue to be kind and affectionate towards people. And even in my prayers, sometimes I ask God to speak to the day and commend it for me, for Curtis, to be kind and affectionate unto me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, hey, everybody wants to be loved and should be. But that's just me. I'm one to motivate. I'm one to uplift. I'm one to encourage. You know, I'm one to try to change the atmosphere. When I believe, when I walk in a room, the atmosphere should change. Not because of who I am,
all
right,
because
of who I've heard. Amen. That should be a positive effect. That's me.
Yeah.
So, you know,
All right.
That's
awesome.
That question.
Now, Mr. Crossland, now, yes. Okay, and then, so now during those 34 years, you filed 9 PCAs, post-convictions, PCRAs, and I think it was, 4 habeas corpuses that you filed?
You're exactly right. Well, I filed 9 state post-conviction petitions. always raising the same claims now. Important to note that. I've always knocked on the door and said, hey, you have an innocent man. Somebody hear me. I was turned down for 33 years. Every time I went. You know, we have what you call time bar. And if you don't file a certain amount of time, then you're done. So me being self-taught in the law, I wasn't always on time filing things. But I didn't stop. But if a law changed, then I understand the law, then I go. You know, they have to tell me no. They have to tell me no. So I say, you know, I'm raised, and I'm quite sure, you know, we're of that age to understand nothing beats a failure but a trial. So I filed I filed four federal habeas petitions, and then finally, you know what I mean, I was granted a certificate of appealability. The Third Circuit Court of Appeals finally let me in. Somebody said, hey, listen, he has something here. So, and you know the rest of the story. That's how, you know, I managed to get some light shed on my situation, and God stepped in and intervened.
Wow. And that's so awesome. So, you know, you were determined to prove your innocence, and you didn't lose hope. You didn't lose faith. And by not losing hope or faith and continuing to fight for your innocence, you know, hey, God prevailed, and he definitely always prevails. And I just want people to realize that no matter what it may look like to them right now, because they're still wrongfully incarcerated men and women around this country, and even right here in the state of Pennsylvania, so many are still wrongfully incarcerated, and some have been in there, like you, 3 decades, 4 decades, 5 decades, and it's just ridiculous. But no matter how long, those of you that are listening tonight that have loved ones that are wrongfully incarcerated, just as God worked that miracle for Curtis Crossland, he can work that miracle for you. He can work that miracle for your loved one as well. And you just cannot lose faith. You cannot lose hope, because the second you lose faith and hope, then, hey, what do you have left? So you have to hold on to God and continue to have faith, knowing that those prison doors will be open one day, and continue to fight and ask God what your purpose is. But God is definitely a miracle worker, and I can see miracles happening for those of you that believe in miracles. But you have to believe. And with that being said, we're going to listen to this song, I See Miracles. And right after that, we're going to talk to Curtis Jr. All right. Listen to I See Miracles and see this. Envision it, everybody, please.
Chapter 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven.
I see miracles.
He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore.
All right, that was Psalms 121, and that's important as well, because we definitely have to know where our help comes from, and it does come from the Lord, and, you know, we have to rely on God and not on man, because man will fail us every time, but God, he never fails. Even when it seems like he's failed us, we have to realize he has not, because there is definitely purpose in everything that he does. All right, we're going to now bring on Curtis Jr., and we're going to talk with him. He is a bishop and a Sabbath keeper, and I have not yet talked to him, but I'm going to talk to him tonight. So, hello, Bishop. How are you tonight?
God bless you. How are you?
Now,
hello, sir.
When your dad... Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, Daddy, how you doing?
When your dad... Okay, that's so sweet. That's nice. I like that. Okay, so Bishop, now you were 6 years old when your dad was wrongfully taken away and incarcerated for all those years. And upon his release, you were 40 years old. Just explain to everybody, share for everyone, what that was like when your dad never came back. What was that like for you?
It was very devastating because he was all we knew. He was all we had. Outside of God and our mother, it was my father. So actually when they knocked on the door that morning, I was standing at the table eating my breakfast for school. And when they asked for Curtis Carlson, I said, here I am. And they said, not you. And then my father come downstairs and they took him away. Later on, I was glad it wasn't me, but I was sad because my father said, I'll be home. He never returned home. So it was very devastating, but we never lost our faith in God. And we wanted our father to know in this situation, even at the age of 6, I was always very mature for my age. I always believed that if God brought us to it, he will always bring us through it.
Yes, yes. Definitely, definitely. All right. Now, growing up as a child, were you always in the church?
Absolutely. Church is all I know.
Awesome. So as you grew up, how often did you get to see your dad? Did you get to go visit him in prison?
Well, I was able to see my father by the grace of God through some of the members of the church and family members. You were actually able to go see him every week for a long period of time. But again, it was hard with him not being in a home. So it changed from every week to being whenever we could get a ride. So every week for a few years, and then after that, it probably be once or twice a month. We was going to be able to get in case to see our father.
Okay. And, wow. So, now that your dad is home, what was it like for you when you found out he was being released? And how did you find out? Tell me about that experience.
Well, be very honest with you, and maybe about 4 months before he was released, the Lord put it in my heart, and I told the church, I said, I believe my father's coming home. I feel it in my spirit. And when I told the church that, we went up into our praise, we gave God glory. And as we began to give God glory for what we believe God was going to do, my father called. And he said, son, he said, I believe I'm coming home. And when he said that, you know, you don't want to get your hopes up. So all I did was cry. I cried for a while, and because I believed God was going to do it. But then when I got the phone call, he's coming home tomorrow, then they said a few days later, I got the first plane smoking from Jacksonville, Florida to Philadelphia. And I wanted him to see the beautiful specimen of a child he made. I wanted him to see my face as he walked out the door because I wanted him to know that I never stopped believing. I never gave up hope. And I wanted him to know, you left me. Now I'm coming to pick you back up.
Wow. That is so very awesome. So very awesome.
Even this is
and
so very overwhelming.
Wow. Mm. Wow. Yeah, I can imagine that it had to be very overwhelming. And then to know that God showed you that he was coming home, and that's awesome in itself. And, you know, that's a good thing. And I am so happy for you and so happy for your siblings, you know, that your dad is out. And, like, I just want to share something with you and with your siblings that are listening. My dad, he wasn't wrongfully incarcerated or anything. But there was a part in my life when I was very little, and my dad, he was separated from us. And he did not come back into my life until I was, maybe about 30 years old. And so for at least 25 years or more, he was not in my life. And when he came back into my life, it was like he had never gone anywhere. And I'm just saying this to say to you and to everyone else that although years have been missed, but God can make it like those years have never been taken away, because he will do whatever it is he needs to do to make it seem like, wow, this person has been here all this time. Because although my dad was gone for all those years, it did not feel like it. It seemed like he had been there the whole time. And I can't explain it, but it is so very real. And as to what God can do, it's just so amazing. And it's just amazing what God has done for your dad and for your family. And now, Mr. Crossland, you have 32 grandchildren, which is just amazing. And that's just incredible.
Now, sir, has a newborn.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you did tell me that. Yep, you sure did. Wow, 33 grandchildren. So he went in prison. He had 5 kids. That was their steps. He comes out. Has 32 grandchildren. Now, what was that experience like?
Well, it was great for me because you know the story, Abraham being down in the land of Goshen. You know they still populated, they still made children. To come home to see that God has given me all that was a blessing. But you know what the greater blessing is? And I wish I could take you to let you see it for yourself. Curtis Jr., being the bishop, all those children in the church, they play the drums, they play the keyboard, they got the guitar. We got our own choir. We got our own group. And when I tell you emotionally, every time I've been to Jacksonville to visit, it's been a very emotional, joyful moment where I just shake my head and say, God, I'm so happy that you allow my eyes to see this on this side of the land of the living, and that I did not die in prison, not knowing how you preserved and kept my family, not knowing that you have been being faithful to me through them. Yes. And sometimes I stand there, I cry and say, God, only you could have done this for me. Only you. I believe that God loves me so much that he allowed me to see for myself. Now, you remember when Moses disobeyed God and spake that rock as opposed to speaking to it. God allowed him to go to the mountain of Moab to look over into the land of Canaan. But he said, because of your disobedience, I'm not going to let you enter into Canaan. I thank God that he allowed me to come to my Canaan to see my offspring, to see what my seed is doing, and that he preserved my family and kept them. I thank God. I'm forever grateful that I live to see this. So that is a testimony within itself, and That's why I'm Curtis. That's why I'm the man I am, because I could have died. There's no parole in the state of Pennsylvania except you get commutation or you come out through the court. I could have sat there and died out in AIDS, but God didn't see fit that that would be my destiny. And he allowed me to see this and to enjoy this. I'm just still so humble. I am very humble.
Yes. Wow. That's so very awesome. That is so very awesome. I'm just so happy for you and for your family. We're going to take a caller right now, and then we'll continue our conversation. But we're going to take a caller. Caller, you're live at the Airbus News Forum tonight. How are you? Caller, you're live on the air. How are you tonight?
Okay, we're going to put the caller back on ice. Listen, guys, when you press 1, that means you want to come on and talk to Chinchilla and Curtis. And now we'll go to the next caller. Call number 2, you're on the line right now, News Forum and Chinchilla Jack.
Hello?
Hello? Yes, hi, caller, you're live on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Oh, okay. So right now, let me introduce you, Vincent. I think this is you. Curtis and everybody, this is Vincent Moto, who is Pennsylvania's historical exoneree, and he's also the co-founder of Be a Voice. Okay?
Yes, me and Vincent's been on the same lot together. Hey, Vince.
Hey, Kurt. How you doing, man?
Long time no see, buddy. How you been?
I've been blessed. You know how we talk about it. I've been blessed every day. I'm here, right? You here, I'm here. And that means greater possibilities exist, right?
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely, yes. Man. Every time I hear your story, it really, gets deep down inside my soul, man, because so many situations like this has taken place, and it's said that most of the time we get the opportunity to meet people such as yourself and myself, and we only under these circumstances and conditions, but God is good,
yes.
Like you say, man, and it's just good to be here. I mean, when I do speak, I try to get people to visualize what we're trying to say and get a visual perspective of what we're saying to them. Because sometimes when people ask us how we doing and we say, oh man, I'm alive, I'm blessed, I'm here, that we're not going through nothing or there's no issues or the problems don't exist. It's just that we have went beyond those things because of our conditions and trials and tribulations that we've been through. I'm still suffering. I'm still in pain. But that don't mean I got to show it in everything I do in life. I don't have to walk around with what happened to me on my shoulder all day long and act like I'm a hateful person. I hate people and I'm hating all my life now that all these things has happened, because from that perspective, you got to see the blessings, because the blessings do exist. Like you said, you come home and your son is waiting on you. You got 33 grads, congratulations, waiting on you. Your seed was preserved. Your people is there. You still get this second opportunity to be with them and share these special moments that hasn't even taken place yet, man. And a lot of times they take things for granted. And when I say they, no disrespect to anyone, I'm talking about those who haven't been through what we've been through. Because, see, when we tell stories, our stories are very profound, very deep embedded emotionally, physically, everything, But we have learned to maintain our emotions and concerns through the vision and direction of the Creator. See, And people, one of the greatest questions that was always asked of me was, you know, do you meet these people?
Yeah, I'm still here, bro. I got you all.
What would you say to these people that, you know, wrongfully incarcerated you and you did something? And I said, well, the first thing is I don't hate anyone because God took that out of my life years ago, decades ago. I wouldn't have been able to survive and go and went through what I went through if God didn't have, he didn't step in and intervene and change these things. You know, he just comforts you under circumstances and conditions, and you there and you're asking, what am I to do? Which way do I go? The decisions I'm about to make, are they going to be the correct decisions? What's going to happen? And a lot of times these are questions that we ask ourselves that we can't really get an answer to sometimes. And when it gets to that point, then that's when you turn it over to God, or the Creator, or Allah, or Jehovah, whatever, you know, people believe in. And see, this is when you get to that point. You have to turn it over to God to still exist, you know. And you give this stuff to God. God tell you. He said, I will not put a burden no greater on you than you can bear. I said to myself, God, why you put me through this? Why you take me from my family? Why you take me from my loved ones? Why you make my children grow up without a dad? Why friends and loved ones of mine passed while I was incarcerated and I never got the opportunity to tell them how much I loved them? And then I sit back and I say to myself, well, why not me? What makes me any better than anyone else? Because now I realize that my life has a purpose. A deeper purpose than just being a father, than just my life, my freedom being taken from me or accused of a crime. My purpose is much more profound now. When I wake up in the morning, it's a whole new feeling than it was before I had went to prison. And, you know, people may ask me, well, what do you mean by that? They'll never really understand that. And I try my best. Thousands of ways to express myself, to explain my situation, to tell people how I'm hurting because there ain't no compensation bill. And for the last 30 years, I've been struggling on disability and everything else, trying to make a living, trying to strive for my family, my loved ones. And then the people that did this to me, they're living well, they're doing well, their kids is fine. The district attorney that accused me, that actually after DNA proved I was innocent, stood there and said in the courtroom, well, I still think he's guilty. And they refused to expunge my record. Do you know how devastated I was? And I stood up and I looked, and I just smiled. I smile like Miss Jonesia asked you. Well, how do you smile? Because they'll never understand that. Because see, you can't win with hate in your heart. You got to have love in your heart so you can see. See, hatred, anger, that distorts your vision, your decision making, all that. And you actually have to believe that. You got to let that go. You get at the God, and then you say, oh, well. The reason why I'm smiling is because he just don't know yet. He can't stop nothing. He can't stop anything. Only God can stop that. And we are so blessed that it's crazy mad that I can stand here in front of all these people and say that because the situation at Rise that so much was done to us, not just to us, but our children, our families, our loved ones, and then they can say, I can stand here and just say, oh, well, I'm blessed. They'll never be able to understand that. I guess that is the blessing because as many will be called, but only few will be chosen. And in a sense that every time I see someone use DNA that was wrongfully incarcerated and they get out of prison, I say to myself, wow, man, maybe all that was worth it because I just saved another brother, or another brother just got saved, and his children and his family and his loved ones, his children, his wife will never have to go through what I went through. And hopefully what they've been through, then the next person won't ever have to go through what they went through. And being on that front line, brother, we give up a lot on that front line. See, that front line is vicious. Anybody that's ever been to war, anybody that's ever had to go through any battles, know the front line. Everybody gets the front line. Who hits that front line get the effect of what's happening and what's coming at you. Being on that front line, now it was an honor when I have a brother or sister walk up to me and say, yo, man, your name Vincent Moto? And I say, yeah. And they say, yo, man, thank you, man. You helped get my dad out of jail, or my mom is home, or my uncle is home, and they want to grab me and hug me and kiss me, you know. And the energy from their bodies and the vibration from their aura and the sincereness of their hearts, when they touch you, it just makes the hair on your body stand up. And you just feel this certain jittery feeling in your heart, and you grab them back and you hug them and you give them the same balanced love, you know. And that energy there, man, it's just incredible. Like when I went to prison, I was taken from my family. My children was, my girl was on my leg, and they were dragging me out of the courtroom. My mom was screaming. My girl was, no, no, my kid, daddy, daddy. I mean, it was so dramatic, so emotional, man. And not once did I break a tear. All I kept hearing in my head is, you're going to be all right. That's all I kept hearing. You're going to be all right. And
wow,
I couldn't, yes, wow, because that's all I kept hearing. Everybody else around me was going, I mean, going through it more than me. And I was the one being taken away and dragged out of the courtroom where everyone was just going through it. And I'm looking, and it was like, you'll be all right, you'll be all right. And I just kept telling my family, don't cry. Don't cry. I'm coming home. That's all I kept saying. Don't cry.
Wow.
And it took me 10
wow.
and a half years.
And
yes.
Yeah, 10 and a half years later, you made it home.
I don't like, sometimes
and
I don't like getting
awesome.
On here talking. Yeah, because I take up a lot of time because it's so
yes.
and so emotional that you can't, it's no end to this. Like, you could just keep going and going and going and talking, and the brother Kurt can come back and tell me some things, and I'll be like, yeah, man, yeah, yeah, yeah. And people be
right.
like, yeah, what y'all talking about? Wrongful incarceration. Then they say, oh, wrongful incarceration. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, Vincent, I thank you so much for definitely calling in to holler at Curtis. And it's an awesome thing when two people or three people, however many people, were wrongfully incarcerated, you know, in the same institutions, and to see someone else that you were on the inside with to be exonerated. That's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. That is so very awesome. We're going to now listen to the Via Voice promo for you guys to find out about Via Voice and Right the Wrong Coalition. And Vincent Moto is the co-founder of Via Voice and Right the Wrong Coalition. Awesome organization. So those of you that have wrongfully incarcerated loved ones, juvenile lifers, or whatever out there, you definitely need to take a listen and get involved with Via Voice.
Are you fed up with the many criminal injustices that we face each and every day here in the United States of America? Do you have a loved one who is wrongfully incarcerated? Were you a victim of wrongful incarceration? Were you a victim of juvenile life without parole? Do you have a juvenile lifer right now behind bars? Were you or someone you love a victim of over-sentencing? What about your voting rights? How about all the gun violence in America? Racism, police corruption, prosecutorial misconduct, judicial biases, planting and withholding of evidence, misidentification of witnesses. Well, whatever the injustice is, we invite you to join the movement. Be a voice. Criminal Justice Reborn and Right the Wrong Coalition. Righting the wrongs and rebirthing this criminal injustice system one city at a time. Become a member today by joining the Facebook group Right the Wrong Coalition. Advocate, speak out, speak up, and stand up for justice. For more information on Be a Voice Criminal Justice Reborn and Right the Wrong Coalition, you may contact Right the Wrong Coalition by dialing 844-642-8378, extension 888. Again, that number is 844-642-8378, extension 888, and extension 111 for Be a Voice. If you appreciate and like the work that Be a Voice and Right the Wrong Coalition is doing across this country, we invite you to support the advocacy work of Chinchilla Jonesia. Donations may be made via Cash App, $ Chinchilla Jonesia. That's $ CHINCHILLAJONESIA. Donate today. Don't have Cash App and would like to donate or contribute? Please inbox Chinchilla on Facebook, Chinchilla Jonesia. Or you may contact her for more information as to how you may donate to the advocacy work to continue podcasting platforms, videocast, cable, TV, more radio, and investigative work exposing the criminal injustices in America. Please contact investigative reporter Chinchilla Jonesia at 267-557-7517. Again, that number is 267-551-7517. Stand up, be a voice, and join the movement today. That was Be a Voice, Right the Wrong Coalition, which is definitely a movement. And a movement means that we have to move. We have to do something. We can't sit down and sit back and relax ourselves while we see so many injustices happening all over this country and right in whatever city you guys are listening from tonight. So I don't care whether you're in Philadelphia, whether you're in Chicago tonight, whether you're in Columbus, Ohio, or in Mississippi, Biloxi, Mississippi, or down in New Orleans, or wherever you're listening from tonight. There is corruption in your city. There is injustices in your city. And Be a Voice is traveling all across the country to bring justice where there is none. All right, so Mr. Crossland, now, how did it feel to talk to Vincent, someone that you were on the inside with, and now both of you are out?
Well, you know, I met Vince, and we both, I believe, was from South Philly. I met Vince incarcerated, I believe, in like 89 when I got to 88 when I got to Greaterford. And I was living on the same block with Vince when Vince was exonerated, when he went home. He was one of the first ones I've seen on the DNA to go home. And this has been the first time I've heard his voice. Well over 20-something years now. So I'm ecstatic. I'm excited. You know, Vince is always a good, positive guy, you know, into the music and always bringing laughters and smiles, you know, great sense of humor. You know what I'm saying? And he's always been my buddy. He's always, you know, we always got along. So I'm excited, man. I'm happy to hear that he's doing great and positive things, you know. And I do understand just what his sight is. I believe I seen him on the news once. They was giving him a problem with even getting his electric on because of what his criminal background was. And I remember him over, if I'm wrong, Vince, correct me. I remember it was over maybe 20 years ago. He said, I'm having a problem with getting my electric bill. Here's a man that's innocent, and he was still having the problem to being treated right. I remember then, and I remember me praying. I'm going to pray for him because I never knew, you know, it's a struggle. It's a struggle, and Pennsylvania is so unkind at times. We're so backdated, antiquated, outdated with laws, so many different other things. And it's just, you know, what can you say? I'm glad that he had the same that I had of God to just continue to hold on. I mean, that's all at the end of the day, you know. I heard somebody, an old lady once say, you'll be all right one day, not to me, but you say sometimes when it take God to knock you down to make you look up. And sometimes we may have to go through times, we may have to something to realize our purpose. You know, one of the greatest teachers I believe I've heard said was down there to exist, to ask God to bring you into existence. Me, I'm a question asker guy. So I said, now, what do that mean? They say to exist is to get up every day, put your clothes on, go to the store, do whatever you do. But to be in existence is to know what purpose God created you for and that you'll be serving that purpose and that, you know, unto God. So you can exist and not even be in existence. You got people existing right now that they have no sense of direction at all, no purpose, no nothing. And they're good people. They may not cuss. They, matter of fact, you got people sitting in church right now today. They pay tithes and they do good, great things. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they have the right relationship with God. So, you know, it can just be like
that's
that.
So
you
true.
Know, you have to find your existence. So, you know, and it sounds like to me, after all these years of him, my buddy found his existence and that he's doing great. And I'm happy for him.
Yes, it's awesome. Yeah. And then the only thing, Curtis, like, he's doing a lot because he's being a voice and fighting for others that are wrongfully incarcerated and, you know, fighting for a compensation bill to be passed in Pennsylvania. So that's what we're working hard on now, fighting to get a compensation bill passed. And, you know, hopefully this will be the year that that happens, you know. God is good.
Yeah.
So we know that it's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. And that's going to be so awesome, an awesome day in the state of Pennsylvania for all of the exonerees here in Pennsylvania, because you guys definitely deserve to be compensated for the wrong that this state has imposed on you, although it cannot repair the damage. But they definitely need to compensate you guys, because to be put out, like, it's like you guys were evicted, okay? You were evicted with nothing, you know, but whatever you brought into that prison upon your wrongful conviction. And it's such a sad thing. And for those that don't have families when they come out, that can be a support network for them, or, you know, it's such a sad thing, because there are some guys that come out and they have no one to turn to. And that's still very sad. So the state of Pennsylvania definitely needs to right the wrong that it's done to all of the wrongfully convicted men and women in this state that have been exonerated. We're going to take another caller, and then we'll continue. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
How are you, Shintilla? This is Antonia Betts. I just wanted to say,
hi, Antonia.
You know, hi. Always good to hear your show when I can actually get that opportunity. I just wanted to say it is just such a tearful, heart-jerking situation to hear about people who are found innocent after having been wrongfully convicted, because you would never think that our system would ever do this to human beings that try to do what's right. And they seem so sincere about being happy to not only be with their family, but had to have a right, a wrong just turn into a right thanks to your show. So may God, you know, continue to let you do the work that you do, because you are basically their guardian angel to me. And I thank God there are people on board who not try to overthrow the justice system, but, you know, just make sure that before some of these people leave God's green earth, that you can be there for them at a time when they need you the most. And it, you know, could have happened sooner if they would have been able to know you, but better late than never. So you continue to do what you're doing, and Curtis and the rest of you fellows just continue to keep the faith at least in yourself. And I know you really are grateful to Chinchilla for being there. So you have a good evening, and I'll see you on the other side of the podcast in about a couple of weeks, I guess, on a Monday at 9:30 p.m.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, yes. And what date is that? Do you know what date that is, Antonia?
I don't know the actual date. Producer Ngozi, he'd be glad to tell you, you know, if he knew right offhand. But either way, it'll be on a Monday evening, 9:30 p.m., maybe about the third
All
or
right.
fourth Monday, called a match. Informational
okay.
guru. All right. Take care.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much, Antonia, for calling in tonight. Thank you so much for your comments. Now, for those of you out there now, you know, like in this fight for justice, it's a hard fight because we're fighting, and we're fighting relentlessly, tirelessly, day in and day out, fighting for people to be free, fighting for legislation to be enacted, you know, changing legislation and all kinds of stuff. And it's a hard work. And it's like you really don't sleep much and anything like that. So for all you advocates out there that are listening, and even those of you that are family members, you're advocating for your loved one. Anytime you are voiced, anytime you're doing anything to help your loved one, you're advocating. And that can become tiresome. And on top of that, we're dealing with the coronavirus and all these different strains. So it is so very important that we take care of our bodies, we take care of our health. Each day, we have to make our health a priority in our lives. And that means eating the right foods, drinking the right beverages, and taking the right things to put in your body. And I don't mean taking man-made chemically induced medicines, people, but I mean taking God's healing herbs that he has placed on this earth from the beginning of time for us to utilize to be healed, to be healthy, to get well, and to stay well. And aside from advocacy that I do, I'm also a naturopath, a certified natural health specialist, and an iridologist. And for those of you that would like to know how to get well and stay well, please give me a call, because I don't want to see people sick. Doctors want to see you sick. Those medical doctors, they want you to stay sick and get sicker so they can keep making money off of you. I don't want to see you sick. I want you to get well and stay well, just as God intended us to be, because he said so in his word. He says, my beloved, above all things, I wish that you prosper and be in health, H-E-A-L-T-H, health, and even as thy soul prospers. So he wants us to be in health, and he wants us to be prosperous, not sick and poor, not sick and broke, busted, and disgusted, but to prosper and to be in health. And God can definitely work a miracle in your life if you allow him, if you trust him and believe in his word. He is a miracle worker, and I see miracles for you all in your health, in your pockets, in your life, even in your family, in your relationships. God can work those miracles, and he can definitely free your wrongfully convicted loved ones. Take a listen to this song by Jacqueline Carr.
Long and hard. If you believe in something with all your heart, it shall come to pass. I see miracles happening for you. I see miracles happening for you. If you believe in something long and hard, if you believe in something with all your heart, it shall come to pass. You see
miracles, and I definitely see miracles happening for each and every one of you that believe in miracles, because you have to believe. You have to believe. At this time, we're going to have final thoughts tonight. First, I would like to get some final thoughts from Curtis Jr., from Bishop Curtis. right now. Give us your final thoughts for the night, Bishop Curtis.
I would like to, first of all, thank you for the opportunity to speak. Amen. And thank God for my father. I want to say this. My father might have been absent in body, but he was never absent in voice. One thing I'm grateful for is that even though he was absent in the body, he always made sure he called home. And he spoke to us, gave us wisdom, gave us counseling, took his time to tell us he loved us. He never missed a birthday. He never missed a great event. And I want to encourage someone out there listening, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of whatever you're going through, if you stay consistent, God will see you through. Be encouraged, and thank you again, Chinchilla, for this wonderful and grand opportunity. Daddy, as always, as I tell you every day, you're always my hero, and I love you.
I love you too, son.
All right. That is so very awesome, so very awesome. Thank you so much, Bishop Curtis, for coming on tonight to share with us your thoughts and feelings and everything pertaining to your dad's wrongful convictions. Thank you so very much. Now, Curtis, Senior, let's hear from you.
Yes.
I'm going to let you give your final thoughts, and then I want you to stay on, because after your final thoughts, you're going to go into Ngozi time. Then I'll be back with my final thoughts, and I would like for you to close us out in prayer. Okay? So write down your final thoughts.
Well, I'd like to thank you as also for the opportunity, and thanks for having me. And as Kurt Jr. said, to you out there that are listening, you know your loved one is innocent. You know that, but for that circumstance, that they did not cause, they would be home. Don't give up on them. Don't walk away. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to your trust. If it's just a letter, send it to them. If it's just that phone call, take that phone call. Let them know that you're still there. Don't let them give up on themselves. Everyone is not made and built. No human being is for incarceration like this for years and decades and times away. But just that touch, if it's just a finger touch of love, may save them mentally, psychologically, or emotionally to help them to be mentally healthy when they do come home. But you play a vital role by being there. Try to find the strength within yourself to continue to press your way. Prison incarceration, this is designed to make you not want to go. It's designed to make you want to give up and take no more phone calls, do no more visits. It's designed to make you be frustrated, angered, and hopeless. Don't let that happen to you, because if you stop, it's going to have an effect on your loved one. Remember, they did nothing wrong to deserve to be there. So don't help the system to destroy them by you walking away. Continue in faith and continue in love. God bless you, and may God keep you. And I'll be praying for you and for all you brothers and sisters who are incarcerated, doing virtual life sentences with too much time, who are innocent. I'm praying for you. Continue to hold on. Keep the faith. Stay in that law library. Don't give up. Keep filing. Keep knocking at the door. God bless you. God be with you.
All right. Thank you so much, Curtis. Like I said, stay on, because I'm going to have you close us out in prayer. All right. Right now it's Ngozi time, everybody. And don't you dare go nowhere, because I'll be right back. All right.
Well, first of all, I want to thank everybody who joined in tonight for this outstanding program. And I want to give a special thanks to Brother Curtis and all the people that called in tonight. Thank you so much for having this be
another outstanding broadcast right here at Bevel Nation Online Radio. And, of course, tomorrow night we'll be right back on with Merc City. And, of course, the legendary Merc City Hip-Hop program at 9:30 Eastern. Standard time of these on all these stations. And, of course, Bevel Nation has advertised the ONI, which is Ola Deli and Goes Enterprise, which is, of course, at www.lookingglassentertainment.wordpress.com, as well as at Gozy Prime Time on that, bednet.com. We're in Gozy Time, both for Twitter and Instagram. Ola Deli and Goes at Terminus Google Plus. Ola Deli and Malay, we're in Gozy at Facebook, as well as our business page, News Forum, as well as the historic Bevel Nation Online Radio, established 2013. Any comments or suggestions to our wonderful program tonight? Ola Deli, Daddy Goes with my gmail.com, and I am. You might have been Father's favorite producer, Ola Deli Malay, where he goes, he's saying goodnight, good luck. To all the folks out there at Armed Force Radio, that support us on a constant basis tonight. Now back to Chinchilla Jonesia, and of course, News Forum, our wonderful anchor. And the 2021 Sonya Griffin Award-winning Linear New Host of the Year.
All right. Thank you so much, Brother Earl. Thank you so much. I would like to once again thank my special guest tonight, Curtis Crossland, wrongfully convicted for 34 years. I would also like to thank his son, Bishop Curtis, for joining tonight as well, and for historically founder Vincent Moto joining us tonight. And for all of you who called in tonight to comment, and those of you that did not get a chance to speak, hey, call in next week. We'll be here every Sunday night, 9:30 p.m., with a different show, of course. But I want to mention some of the wrongfully convicted people here in Pennsylvania, Joel Atkin, Melvin Ortiz, John Brookins, Brian Parnell, Muti Osaburu, Herndon Steele, and also Mike Swift and Michael Lilly. And we're going to be praying for them tonight. And those of you that are listening tonight, just know that your family, they will be released as well. But you have to keep the faith. Also to Grady Attaway and Ali Shabazz and Travis Raybone down in Georgia and Bishop Kenneth Atkins down in Georgia. Your day is coming for freedom. It's coming, and it's coming soon. And just keep faith like Grady, a strong man of faith behind bars. He's a Christian, so is Bishop Atkins and Brian Parnell. Then we have some that are Muslims, but Islam. And being a Muslim, they have their own faith, so they are faithful. Ali is a man of faith with his Islamic faith and serves Herndon Steele. And for those of you out there that don't believe in God or that there is a God, it's time that you start believing that, yes, there is a God. No matter what you call him, there's only one God, and he is the creator of all things. And you have to believe, you have to have faith on the inside to get prison walls. You need to have faith on the inside of your spirit and your soul. Join me next week, next Sunday, same time, same place, right here on News Forum. And to reach me anytime during the week, you may do so by calling me at 844-642-8378, extension 888, or 267-551-7517. You can reach me there or inbox me on Facebook or email me or hit me up on Instagram, Chinchilla Jonesia on Facebook. You can reach me there. And be sure to follow Mike M-I-C Test, T-E-S-T, Entertainment TV's Facebook page, where you can look at podcasts of wrongful convictions, where you'll get to meet and see even some men that are currently behind the walls that have appeared live on the podcast. So family member, and you want their story told, give me a call, and they may be the next feature on News Forum or on Cries of Innocence from Behind Prison Walls. All right, I am your girl, Chinchilla J, and we're going to allow Curtis Crossland, because he told me that he has been preaching, he has been praying, and praying for people, and God has purposed him to do those things. So I'm going to ask this man, who was just exonerated back in June of last year after 34 years, to pray for all of those who are wrongfully convicted right now. All right. I'm your girl, Chinchilla, everybody. Remember to always be a voice Take it away, Curtis.
Thank you. Eternal God and our Father, we thank you and praise you in that precious name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking you, Father God, right now for every family that's represented, to every hearer that is listening right now. Father God, for the wronged men and women, I'm asking you, Father God, to build them, to strengthen their hearts. I'm asking you, Father God, to raise a standard up in them. Raise a standard up in their family, Father God, to continue to believe in you. Lord, I'm asking you, Father God, to intervene in their behalf. Open doors for them that no man can shut, and shut doors, Lord, that no man can open. I'm asking you, Father God, to go ahead of them and show yourself victorious, Lord. I'm asking you, Father God, to do it for your glory's sake, for your name's sake, for your testimony's sake. I'm asking you, Lord, to do it, God, because I know you're a God of compassion. You're a God of long sufferings, Father God. And I know that you hear their cries. I know that you know their pain, that you're acquainted with the feelings of their infirmities. And I know, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that there is no failure in you. You are the unbeatable. You are the unmovable. You are the unshakable, Father God. And I'm asking you right now to shake the foundations of the prison, Father God. Shake the foundation of the system, Father God, and open these doors. Touch these judges' heart, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, make it easy and visible, Father God. Hallelujah. For the evidence to be noticed and to be found, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, I pray for our city leaders, Father God, them who are standing for justice. I'm asking you, Lord, to continue to give them the courage. Continue, Father God, to build them up on the inside, Father God. I'm asking you, Lord, to support them financially. Open doors for them, Father God. Send help. Send the aid that they would need, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, to help them, Father God, to do the work, the programs, and chiller. All the work that they're doing, Vince Moto, all those that are standing on the front line, Lord, this is not by a haphazard event. This is by your purpose and your desire. For no one, Father God, can do these things except you be the one orchestrating it. So I'm asking, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you have your way and you continue to bless, continue to show yourself mighty. God, in doing these things, we will be so careful, so mindful, to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. For I would not be here without you. Those who have been delivered and freed would not be in their homes if it was not for you. We acknowledge you. We know that you are the great I am. We know that you are the way maker. We know that you are the strong tower. You are the might and you are the power. And besides you, there is no other help. We know, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we need you. So, Lord, we're calling on you. Hear our cries. Feel our hurt. Feel our pain, Lord, and come see about us. Deliver, Father God, all those, Lord, who are waiting on you, calling on you, saying, what about me? What about me? God, it is the season. And in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to strengthen them and to build them. Help them to hold on. Keep their minds, keep their hearts, keep their spirits, and keep their family spirits. And we'll be so careful again, to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for every deliverance. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you. Amen, amen, amen to all you listeners.